And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is Dr. John Vance. Pastor Vance, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we live in interesting times. Trouble is, we can always say that because the times are always interesting. But on my mind, and probably yours, is the Iranian situation and our response to it. But as I've been looking into it, Pastor Vance, I had to refresh my memory. There's been a lot of goings-on here with Iran since 1979. Maybe you want to talk to that a little bit while I fill in some of the blanks as they come along.
Yes, we had the Ayatollah Khomeini, who was in exile in France, to return to Iran, and it started the Shia revolution. And since 1979, they've been an arch enemy of the United States.
Yeah.
And Israel, of course, and many of the countries in the Gulf region. Iran is the old Persian Empire. Now, the Persian Empire, that's great. A great people.
Yes.
Great civilization, so forth. Very smart people, and so forth. But the Islam in the Shia form certainly has been a darkness that settled upon the land.
Right.
Of Iran, and it's clear that it is evil, in my opinion, clearly
right.
Evil. And we started to try to negotiate with them. We've shoveled out the door billions and billions and billions of dollars trying to buy this evil empire off.
Yes.
None of them worked. We've appeased them. We've done everything we can except deal with the problem head on.
Yep.
And at this point, we are. And I do think it is justified.
Yes.
Now, I will say this, and no one knows the consequences of the outcome. Do I think that the war was justified? If I could just say a couple of words here, Dan. Yes, I do. But we really can't determine how all the outcome will be and the consequences.
No.
That's only for God to know. But nonetheless, it seems to me on the face of it that our president really had little choice.
Yeah, right. Like I said, I was looking back at some of the history, and back there at the in the early days of Iran going full Islamic, the Tehran embassy, there were hostages. 52 Americans were held 444 days.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how those poor people felt. In 1983, the Beirut embassy was bombed, and 17 Americans were killed.
That's right, yes.
In October of 83, the Beirut Marine Barracks was hit, and 241 U.S. service members were killed. I got a whole list here.
Yes, it goes on and on and on. It's just unbelievable.
It doesn't end. I wonder what is at the base of their belief, such that they think it's a good, quote-unquote, thing to kill people like this.
When you have an outlook that says that you must conquer the world for your religion by arms, you know, nothing wrong with spreading the gospel and preaching the gospel.
No.
And letting people freely accept or reject. But when you have this kind of idea that you have a mandate from on high to conquer the whole world and impose Islam upon the world. That really is what they have in mind when they're doing this. They think it's as strong a command for them as it is for the Great Commission for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to conquer.
That is an amazing thing, and it's an amazing contrast, too, that when you put it like that, here is a Islamic Great Commission that is killing people, as opposed to the Christian Great Commission, where you freely present the gospel of Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit, he miraculously brings people to himself, and from there you can build Christian civilization. There's a huge difference there.
Well, it's life and death.
Yeah, it really is.
One offers life through Christ, and the other offers death if you reject their offer.
Right.
That's simple. It boils down to very simple parameters here and understanding and goals. Now, it's true that the Shia are not necessarily, or the Muslim conquests were not necessarily to convert all people to Islam, but they wanted that. But they did like having Christians and Jews to be what is called a status of being of demitude, meaning that you're second-class citizens and you pay extra taxes, a poll tax, and you are subservient.
Does that hold for Shia as well as Sunni?
Yes, yes. Demitude mm-hmm. is in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Demitude is in the Quran, and so therefore it holds for all of Islam. I'm almost confident of that. It's clear in the Quran
yeah.
that demitude is the offering. It's you're offered to submit, convert, or death.
Yes,
that generally is the pattern, and. But eventually, those countries that they conquered submitted to Islam because they were second-class citizens. They could hardly get by.
That's right.
And they were placed in ghettos, and they converted to Islam. That's how that worked, and so forth.
Yes. I was going down a list. I wanted to jump back into that for just a couple of them. In 1996, it was the Khobar Towers. 19 United States airmen were killed. And then you got the whole mess there in Iraq. I was not a real fan of that war, but there were some IEDs, EFPs, that were supplied by Iran. And that took out well over 600 of our U.S. troops killed by these Iran-supplied weapons.
That's right, yes.
January 2020, Iran missile strike on Iraq, and there was 100-plus U.S. troops, TBI, I guess that's traumatic brain injury. Then in January 2024, Iran-backed drone in Jordan, and prior to that, October 23, was the Hamas attack, 40-plus U.S. civilians were killed in Israel. And for a long time, since 1984, Iran has been designated as a state sponsor of terrorism. So this is a long history. And then all that said, Pastor Vance, all that said, there's still one more issue that is overriding. It's the trigger, if you will, that says we got to take action. And that is, we were trying to convince Iran not to have a nuclear weapon. We even went so far as offering them non-lethal nuclear materials so they could have a civilian program for power, generating power. But no, they want the nuclear weapon. And that's
they wanted weapon-grade uranium.
That's right.
And we wanted to sell them industrial grade so that they could have
yeah,
power
sure.
and do whatever they wanted and do scientific research. But they have increased their stockpile to 60%, much of it,
wow.
which can easily convert to 90% uranium, which is weapon grade uranium. And if what is it? Wiskoff, what's his name? I forget.
Yeah, that guy.
he said that they were within a week or two of converting that 60% into 90%. So I don't think we have any margin of error. Here.
That's the urgency here. Yeah, their intelligence is very good. They know what they're doing, and they realize mm-hmm. we don't have a long runway anymore. Something has to be done to protect Americans. And we know that they want to kill Americans. It's been proven since 1979.
Well, another thing, too, is their proxies. You know, they have these proxy parties they use, like Hezbollah, for instance.
That's right.
It's mainly in Syria and in Lebanon. They've killed many Americans. Hamas, of course, is another proxy army, and we've dealt with that, or still trying to. And then the Houthis,
in
Southern Arabia. Yeah, they are very, very vicious. They've attacked their neighbors, Saudi Arabia, others. So the Shia movement and the parties that they inspire to wreak havoc in the Middle East and the world, I think it's not an exaggeration to say that their terrorism is second to none.
I really appreciate our Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. I know some Christians have talked against him, and he said some words that they misinterpreted and then misrepresented him. He believes in salvation by grace through faith alone, and his words were taken out of context and made to say something that he wasn't saying. But he is a Christian man. He also is a war fighter. And
I don't know of any Secretary of War that could bench press 315 pounds.
That says a lot too. Oh my!
He's in shape. He is fit for the job.
That tires me out just to think of it. But we're blessed to have this man at the top of our War Department, and we're blessed to have people like Raisin Kane, Dan Kane, and he's a talented man. He doesn't walk around feminine wearing a dress. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. So praise God for these men. Mm-hmm. Now, can you talk a little bit more, you hinted at it, about the belief of Shia, their eschatology, and we touched upon it. They're driven to do things. A little bit more just talking about that, maybe.
Well, I think they're an eschatological death cult. That's the way I'll put it.
Uh-huh.
Now, eschatology, for those who don't know the word, it means last things, your view of the last things. The Shia have a messianic hope that they will bring in the Messiah through warfare at the end. And they can trigger, and I think that this is what the Ayatollah had in mind. There's no question about, there's no question for me that he certainly knows this and is ingrained with this ideology. Or theology, if you will, that they could trigger the end times and the coming of the Messiah through warfare. That's
kind of interesting, because there is a sect within Christianity, if I can call them that. They're still our brothers and sisters, but there's a version of dispensationalism, it's called, where sometimes they kind of act that way. And I don't buy into that, but it's got a similar feel.
Yes, it's very dangerous. The messianic theology that we have, which is true and good and promised, but the scriptures tell us to be patient and occupy till the Lord comes.
That's right.
But when you get to the point where you think you're going to trigger things and bring things in, it's you become a danger to other people.
Yeah, it's man-based then.
Yes, it's human-based. It's human-based. It arises out of a human heart, a human imagination. It's not part of God's divine self-revelation. You can't find a word in Jesus' teaching and words in the New Testament or St. Paul or anybody that you do this. It's just not there.
No. I've been greatly encouraged as I repeatedly go back to the Great Commission, and there was forms of this in the early books of the Bible also, where Jesus commands us to disciple the nations. That entails a lot of work, and it implies his blessing on it, that his empowerment This is what he wants, and I believe this is what he will do. And this ties into missions, and it probably is a lot longer range than what we like to admit. We like to get things over with quick. You know, I got a solution, let's do this. No, mm-hmm. that's not how God does it. He talks about the mustard seed, little tiny thing, mustard yeah. seed. One time when I was a kid, somebody gave me a tie tack, and there was a little tiny thing in it, and turns out it was a mustard seed. You know, one of these little trinket-type things you give to Sunday school uh-huh. kids. But it was kind of cute, and it reminded me how very small they are. And yet it becomes the greatest of the garden herbs and the birds of the air, which pictures the nations come and reside in its branches. It's a beautiful picture that the Lord Jesus has given us.
Well, we are the army of the Lord in a real sense, but it's not the kind of army that we normally think of.
No.
This is our warfare is spiritual.
That's right.
And we have an instrument of war called the gospel, and this gospel is to be preached to the nations, but it is peacefully done.
Yes.
I don't understand how we jump that barrier and begin to want to impose. You're right, the kingdom grows. And it's the work of God often is not even recognized until, you know, its full fruit begins to form.
Yeah.
So God's doing his work. We have to trust God for what he's
yeah.
doing and his own time. And his own plan, and we see through a glass darkly, as Paul says, and we don't see all everything. And so why we would be so presumptuous to get violent, let's say these cults,
yeah,
to get violent, or like the Shia Islam, you know, they do have a messianic hope, as we've already said.
Yeah.
But they're going to bring it in. They're going to force it. And this is why they're so dangerous.
That's right. I'm impressed with this idea of the slowness. Sometimes things happen fast, no question, but sometimes I bet you've experienced it where you had a friend in high school and the friend was a real cut up, getting in trouble, morally impure, just all the above. And then later in life, you meet that friend again and he's been converted.
Mm-hmm.
His heart's changed. And it's just it's a miracle of God. Can you describe the new birth? I mean, what are we talking about here in case somebody's just tuning in and wondering, what are these guys talking about here today?
Well, in John chapter 3, it talks about the new birth. The word in some translations is being born again, but the word in Greek means to be born from above.
Yeah.
The new birth is that we have our beginning in God, a new life, a gift. If you will, the Christian is a person who's dependent upon God's free gift in Christ, to believe in his promises and offer of salvation. The new birth is God's Holy Spirit transforming us to give us a new heart, a new life, new eyes, to be able to begin to see things from this perspective of eternity, from God's perspective.
Mm.
And I like the phrase in Philippians where it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. There is a real sense in which the human mind and heart are transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a new birth, to know Christ. John Stott has a wonderful book. I don't know whether most people know who he is. He was an Anglican clergyman in England who wrote prolifically in an evangelical way, almost all of his books. And he wrote two books, Christian Basics and Basic Christianity. And I don't know which one this is in. But someone asked him, what is Christianity? And he said, it is knowing a person, knowing Jesus Christ through faith.
Mm.
He was raised, he is alive, and we can know him and pray through him to our Father in heaven. And that's the new birth. It's that kindled within us is our interest in Christ. And he is our elder brother. And as he has been raised from the dead, so will we. to live with God. And so when the Bible talks about the birth, the new birth, the birth from above, that's what it's about. And it's not something that can be forced. It's not something that can be coerced. It is God's gift. And it is through the Spirit that we are enabled to receive that gift.
Yeah. Jesus enables our new birth. He forms it. And yet, there's an irony. He also calls us. And it almost has the feeling like it's all on our side. But once we get there, we realize, oh, no, this was all of God. It wasn't just me. It's a complex and yet simple thing that goes on.
I have a twin sister, by the way, and she supports Redeemer, and she likes Redeemer very much. She lives in another area, and we were talking about this. The free gift, and she reminded me of that verse that we love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
And it's God's initiative.
That is it.
It's God's initiative that we are what we are by His grace.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul never got over that simple fact. That's the gospel.
It is.
That really is a gospel. And yeah. Jesus, and we've got the invitation, come to me, all ye ends of the earth, the Old Testament in Isaiah. And then you've got the Good Shepherd who comes into the world to seek and save the lost and goes after the very lost sheep. No, what we are is by God's initiative and gift.
Amen. Well, today we're talking with Dr. John Vance. We call him Pastor Vance, and sometimes short, we say JLV, your initials. And he's also a board member here at Redeemer, and we look to him for a steady hand, for guidance, for wisdom. And he's affected my life greatly. Pastor Vance, we have maybe 3 minutes left. We have talked already about Shia, some of their eschatology, etc. Is there anything else that comes to your mind that you would want to cover here?
Well, let me say this. We live in times, and it's not unique because it's been true throughout history, where there's a great deal of delusional thinking. And even some Christians are swept up into it politically and so forth, getting the right perspective. And I would encourage the people to go back to the Scriptures. You know, the Scriptures are authoritative for doctrine and life to instruct us on how to live. Proverbs 4:23, I think it is. I was looking up this morning. That verse came to mind. As a man thinks, so is he.
That's right.
Your thinking is terribly important. How you're framed and how you think. And Scriptures constitute God's revelation to us. And the Scriptures are given by God. They're God breathed out. And as it says in, what is it, 2 Timothy? They're useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that we might be thoroughly equipped to live in the world. I think those Christians who are not taking, are not under good preaching and teaching and reading the Scriptures, they run the risk of not being part of the delusional thinking that we have. I would encourage being rooted in the Scripture, and it's important to do that. John Calvin, whom I like, a lot of people don't like him today at all, if you want to know the truth. But I like what he had to say. Mm-hmm. And he didn't say this alone, but I can name Augustine, Aquinas, Luther, and Calvin were all in agreement on this, the nature of the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are able to make us wise, not only into salvation, but to be able to see deeper into reality and to negotiate this dark world that we're in.
That's right.
And so I would encourage people to be in a good church, listen to Redeemer. God's placed teachers in the church to help us to go deeper into the scriptures. And so those things are important at a time like this when, generally speaking, we can say it's a very chaotic world.
That's right. Well, that's a good summary. Today we've been blessed to talk with Pastor John Vance, our friend, our board member here at Redeemer. And dear listener, if you have a question for John Vance, just send your question to our email address, which is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. And Pastor Vance, may God bless you, and take care of yourself. We love you, and we thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.